Good to be in church this morning. You got your Bibles? Go to the book of Daniel, please. Bibles, book of Daniel, chapter number 3. Daniel, chapter number 3. I'm glad for the Bible. God's word. It's infallible. Inerrant. Oh, yeah. Inspired. It's preserved. It's eternal. Somebody help me. Thank God for it. Daniel chapter number 3, a familiar story. And I want you to go there with me. And to save some reading, I want you to go just to Daniel 3 and 26. And then stand with your Bibles open there and I'll read to the end of the chapter. Daniel chapter 3 and verses 26 through 30. This week has been a busy week. Been a busy week because we've been visiting a lot of folks that are ill. I've never seen so many people in our church sick at the same time. And we just have a lot of folks that's going through real difficult times. They're going through it. As some of you this morning, you're going through it. You say, Preacher Smith, I'm not going through it. I'm having it pretty easy right now. You are. But that don't mean you are tomorrow. Somebody help me preach. Daniel 3, are you there? And verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, notice this phrase, come forth, and notice this phrase, and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Somebody ought to take a time out and shout right there. Amen. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Amen. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Our Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us preach like we've never preached before. I'm aware in my church right now there are hurting people. There's some people that are kind of confused because of the fiery trial that they are in this morning. And I pray this morning that their pastor can step to the podium inspired by the Holy Ghost and preach a message that will get right to where they're living this morning. And they'll be encouraged that they are going to make it. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I'll give you my title in a few moments as I do a little introducing. Here in this passage of scripture, we find the servants of God in the fire. And I want to say this to you. It was hot. It was horrible. And they were hated. But I want you to notice something. I want to bring a truth out right here to you. I want all y'all to grab this. These folks weren't in the fire because they were disobedient. They were in the fire because they were obedient. They weren't in the fire because they were a disgrace. They weren't in the fire because they were ungodly and going in the wrong direction. They were in the fire because we all going to go through the fire. Somebody help me. You could be living right and be right in the middle of the fire. I know Joe Osteen don't preach that. Pretty Boy don't preach that. And some of these health and wealth gospel guys that says if you get saved, you'll not have any trouble, you'll not have any burdens, you'll never go in the fire, you'll never be tried. That's a lie from hell. Am I preaching? Listen to me, you need to understand that not everybody gonna come out right either in the fire. Somebody help me right there. See, you're in one of three positions in this room this morning. Whether you're saved or unsaved, you're either in the fire, just came out of the fire, or getting ready to go in the fire. And by the way, what do you have to do to come out of the fire? He said, come forth. He said, come hither. I want to preach this morning on this thought. What you do to come out of the fire. There's some of you may be in a fire this morning in your family. You may be in a fire in your finances. You may be in fire in your emotions. You may physically be in a fire. You may be, your family may be upside down and tore up, and you got kids wayward and acting like a devil, running all over the place, and living like a devil. You might say, how am I going to get through it? There is a way to come out of the fire. Can I give you, some of you boys, y'all, you know we taught in Bible school 3 points in an outline, 3 points in a poem. Well, I'm breaking all the rules today. I got 8 points. Don't let your heart be troubled. I don't have a lot of sub-points. 8 things I want to give you. I think 8. We'll see. I want to help you to get out of the fire. Number one, I want you to notice this. They got out of the fire because they had established character. I'm going to help me. If you go back to chapter 1 and verse 8, talked about Daniel and them three boys, they purposed in their heart that they were going to serve God. They had a spiritual purpose. I want to tell you something. You want to know God's going to take you through everything, you just get a purpose. I pastor a bunch of people, and I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of them don't have any purpose. They don't feel fit. They don't have no purpose. They just come to church and sit down. I want to tell you, when God saved me, he saved me to do something. God saved me to serve him. God saved me with a purpose. I'm glad my whole ministry, I've had a purpose. Amen. Amen. They had a sincere performance. That 3 years they served him. 3 years they walked for him. And you know what? You know what Nebuchadnezzar did? He promoted them. Somebody help me. He promoted them. They were sincere. They had a seen prominence. They came out right. They were doing right. They were living right. By the way, let me make a statement here. Listen, look at me. Don't you dare try to scramble for character once you get in the fire. You better have it before you go in. Amen. Somebody help me. Hey, there's a whole bunch of people, they want to get real close to Jesus when they get in the fire. But they ain't been close to Jesus for 25 years. Am I preaching? Somebody help me right here. I may as well let it rip this morning. Hey, let me tell you something. You want to get out of the fire, you want to get through the fire, you better have something before you go in the fire. Amen. Got to have some character. Amen. Not be a character. I remember going to church, and you talk about being a character. I was back in the back in a revival, and I don't want to be this kind of church person. I was back in the Bible, back in the back, shaking hands with the people, never met them before, and here comes a guy named Pete. You know what they said? Oh, my God, here comes Pete. I thought to myself, who's Pete? Well, the way they were talking was he's the most miserable person in the world. And if you ask him how he's doing, he'd be there for a half hour. I want to tell you, I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be the kind of person when people see me, they say, that's a guy that loves God. That's a guy that got purpose. That's a guy that guy is established. Amen. But number two, I will hurry on. Look in chapter 3. Just move on up to chapter 3. First few verses, first six verses. They had extreme courage. Now, I want to tell you something. Nebuchadnezzar done something, and I don't want to get too prophetic, but I may get a little bit. Nebuchadnezzar done something in that plain. He set up an image. And that image, he set it up, and he said, every person in this area is going to bow down to that image. And if they don't bow down, they're going to be cast in the fiery furnace. Hello. And by the way, somebody help me here. By the way, there's going to be a day coming after the rapture. Nebuchadnezzar's was a forerunner of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is going to set up an image. And everyone that is going to have to bow to that image, they're going to have to take a 666. Somebody help me preach right here. And that's going to happen prophetically. But it happened to these three boys. And by the way, Nebuchadnezzar was anti-God. He was a pagan God. Listen to me. We're not living in a friendly country anymore. We're not even living, I don't believe, in a God-fearing country anymore. We're living in a pagan world today. We got pagan people running this place. Look at the immorality, ungodliness of all these people running for office. And look what's coming out on them. I want to tell you, well, we're in a mess. It ain't just a Democrat and Republican thing. They all a mess. Somebody help me. You know what Nebuchadnezzar said? We're going to have total participation. By the way, you don't think you're going to get tried in your Christian life, but you, every one of you, are going to face the fire and face someone trying to threaten you. And they had a threatening propagation. You know what they said? We serve somebody bigger than you. You know it takes courage to stand. Somebody said amen right there. Everybody, I see everybody bowing to immorality. Come on now. They people that says they're saved live like Lord. They live bad. Somebody said, Preacher Smith, why do you preach so hard on sin? Because there's so many people doing it. I mean, I'm telling you. Hello. Somebody told me, said, one of your church members visiting up the road. I said, no wonder. They live like a devil. They smoke dope. They walk. They're critical. They're mean. They got to find somewhere they ain't got no fire-breathing preacher like me coming down their throat every week. Hello. People bound down to morality. They're bound down to carnality. They're bound down to false gods. I want to tell you, there's only one God this morning. His name is Jehovah. There's only one way to heaven this morning, and he's Jesus. Somebody help me. Let me show you a third way. Man, I'm just preaching the Bible here. Look at verse number 12. I see express confidence. I mean, man, oh man. Y'all in this book, look at this stuff. This is good stuff. They had to express confidence that there are certain Jews who must set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They had an intimidating confrontation. Don't you think there's not going to be people? Be people that intimidate you and try to intimidate you. I've had them. I've had them. Can I tell you one story? This happened probably 20 years ago. Natalie Backus would remember this. They had this big, because we talked about, they had this big conference down here in Hurricane High School. All these ecumenical churches went down there, and they had this big ecumenical, remember that? Even some of our friends went to it and said they're pretty straight guys. They come to my office. And I'm going to tell you what, they put the intimidating. If you don't come, we'll never support you. I thought, thank you. Hallelujah. We'll put you out of business. First of all, they didn't put me in business. Somebody help me preach right there. They didn't put me in business. And that's down there, they had the Catholics and had all of them and all these people ecumenical, and they had nobody that could lead people to Christ right and all that, and want me to go down. I don't want y'all to know something. I'm not going to serve any God but God. I'm not going to promote any way but Jesus. I'm not going to get in the middle of a bunch of ecumenicals and live like some bad person. Amen. Verse 15, they had indicated consequences. Here's what he said. He said, boys, listen, you either going to bow or you're going to burn. Help me. You're going to bow or you're going to burn. But look at verse 17. I'm about to shout right here. They had an intense commitment. Look at verse 17. Somebody got verse 17. Will you all look at it with me? Look at your Bible. If it be so, if we're going in there, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. We ain't bowing. Hey, by the way, King, we ain't missing church when we're in trouble. King, even though I'm financially having a bind, I'm not quitting tithing. Hello. Somebody help me. I still believe God's able. How many of y'all believe he's an able God, an omnipotent God, an omniscient God, an all-powerful God? Is he or isn't he?
Amen.
Say with me, verse 17 also, I see an emphatic convention. Hold a minute. How emphatic are you? You know, I've been called this. And I'm going to give the definition of it this morning. You're a fanatic. How many would like to know the definition of a fanatic? Raise your hand. One of you. I'm going to tell you anyhow. A fanatic is somebody who loves Jesus more than you do. They were emphatic. God's able. God's able. Listen, he's able to save. He's able to secure. He's able to supersede. He's able to do anything this morning. If you're lost, he can save you. If you're going through a trial, he can sustain you. If you have need provision, he can supply you. I want y'all to know this. Man, I'm getting excited this morning. Look at verse 18. Somebody look at verse 18. First of all, verse 17, he says he's able, but listen to this. But if not, be it known unto thee, King, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Look here, King. If he don't deliver me, I'm still not going to worship your God. Somebody help me. See, I believe God can heal. So come on and help me. But sometimes he don't. Sometimes he allows you to go through. Get with me, somebody. But I'm glad even if he don't bring me out, I'm still going to serve God. Even if I have to go through persecution and opposition and the fire, I'm not going to turn my back. Woo! Because I want you to know something. Look at me. You can have some peace even when you're in the fire. Somebody help me. Let me hear that. Listen, in verse 21, he bound them. Look at verse 21. He bound them. These men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats. They had their winter garments on in a fire. He bound them. But they chose to serve God. He burned them. He set that thing seven times hotter. Somebody help me. They were emphatic. By the way, they didn't get burned up, but then people that put them in got torched. You know, God's got a way to get the haters. I know some lot of bunch of haters. I want to tell you, they're miserable people, and God gotta torch them. Oh, you're gonna get, hey, hater, you're gonna get torched. Give me fire right there on the torch. The haters, they threw them in.
Yeah.
They didn't get hurt, but they got burned up.
Right.
Whew, man. Y'all have any fun yet? I am. Look at verse 24. I'm just showing you how to get out of this thing. Look at how many of verse 24 say amen?
Amen.
Fifthly, I see an eternal companion. Look here. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. How many can wave at me and say you're glad that you've got an eternal companion that'll never leave you, never forsake you, go all the way with you, even if it is the fire? By the way, he had a prompt appearance. I'm glad my God is prompt. How many could stand and testify this morning? I wonder how many people, raise your hand, could testify on a God that came on the scene real quick with you when you got in the fire. Raise your hand if you ever had that happen to you. Huh? He's prompt. I'm glad he ain't like some people that wait till next week to do something. I got a prompt Christ. Oh, that ain't all. Look here. He had a powerful effect on them. Can I tell you, child of God, you're not in this thing alone. You got somebody with you. You say, preacher, I got cancer. Preacher, I've got family problems, financial problems. You're not in it alone. The king looked over. He said, I want to tell you something. I put them men there. I bound them. But they loose now. There's something about a trial for a godly person, Chad, that'll bring a freedom on them. And bring some, they ain't nothing like you being free in Jesus Christ. Somebody help me praise. Hey, the king looked down. He said, I want to tell you what. They loosed in there. Hello? Not only were they loose, look. They moving around. I want to tell you something. In the midst of your trial, you still could be moving for God. I've been through a few in my life. I've been to a couple that my friends said they thought it had me. But I tell you what I didn't do. I didn't stop. I just kept moving. I didn't quit preaching. I didn't hang it up. I didn't stop serving God. I didn't quit on the church. I just kept moving. They were loosed and moving in the fire. And they were lacking pain. The Bible said they had no hurt.
That's right.
Lacking pain. You said, why? What happened? There's somebody in there with them. Somebody raise your hand for an eternal companion. By the way, I'm going to stop here a minute. He don't show up for everybody. Listen to me, if you're unsaved, you're going to be better by yourself. And if you're a backslidden Christian, you're going through the fire yourself. Ain't going to help you. Ain't going to be in there for you. No. You said, preacher, why am I having such a mess? And I don't see, because you ain't right with God, and there ain't no God in there going to help you. He don't help carnality. Quiet in here now. You say, well, I'll just live the way I want to live. I'll buck you. I got some people I know, they buck me. They've been bucking me for 30 years. I want to tell you, so you can buck God, buck me, buck anybody else, but you ain't getting no help from God unless you're right. Now stay with me. Then I see an eyewitnessing character here. The Bible said, look here. Then Nebuchadnezzar came down to the mouth and he looked in. Can I say something to you? When you're going through the fire and trouble, there's always somebody looking. Your husband's looking. Your wife's looking. The church is looking. The nurse is looking. The teachers are looking. I see an intrigued reaction. He was astonished. I see an interrogating regulation. Didn't we just cast three in there? And I see instinctive recognition. Lo, I see four. Now stay with me here. I'm getting ready to really get happy right here. Y'all with me? And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Stop a minute. He ain't never seen Jesus. This pagan never seen Jesus. Boy, I'm getting happy now. This pagan ain't never seen Jesus. This pagan, how in the world? I'm telling you, it wasn't Muhammad. It wasn't Buddha. It wasn't the Pope. It wasn't humanism. It was Jesus. And I want you to know something, my brother. You want to know how lost people know that you're real? Is that they see Jesus in you in your fire. Somebody help me preach right there. They ain't going to know something real. But I want to tell you, those people at work, those people, your kids, they'll know if you're real if they see Jesus in you in the fire. I tell you what our world needs. We need less powders and more shouters. We need a lot of people that instead of saying, oh, my Lord, my world's ending. No, if you got Jesus, you're just beginning. Woo. Man, I ain't never seen him. There's a lost world out there. I ain't never seen Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get in the fire one of these days. And they're going to watch how you react. They are, Jeff. They're going to watch how you react. And how much they want Jesus will depend on how much you live for Jesus. See my preaching? Oh, Lord God, I'm happy. I said some folks have seen me go through some things, and some of you. It showed them something. It showed them Jesus. I want Jesus. I want to live for Jesus. By the way, if you don't have nothing in the fire, who'd want what you got anyhow? If you sit back a little sour little grape every week, who'd want what you have anyhow? But if you're serving, praising, and worshiping in the fire, there's somebody going to say, that's Jesus. No, I'm almost, dear God, I've got to hurry. Number 7, verse 26, an effective change. In verse 13, he was enraged at these boys. In verse 24, he was astonished. And in verse 26, he brought them out. Remember the question in verse 14? He said, whose God is it going to get you out of this mess? Yep. Now he's saying, blessed be God. I see a contrast in reaction. The person that threw them in is now bringing them out. I see a clear awareness, and I see a credible announcement about their God. I want to tell you something. Your God is just as great as you are in that fire. Somebody help me. Oh, that's good preaching, preacher. Look at verse 29, I'm done. I see an exalted conclusion. And 30. Can I read it to you? Therefore, I will make a decree that every people, nation, and language will speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach. Hold on. He didn't say this. He didn't say, okay, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, since you were faithful, I'm going to let you serve him. That ain't what he said.
Yes, sir.
He said, if any of y'all say one thing amiss about that God, I'm cutting you in pieces. Woo! Somebody help me there. I see an exalted conclusion that God is still on the throne. Somebody help me. And look at verse 30. And then he promoted them. How many like that song, going on up? I'm going on up. I'm about to do a little Holy Ghost jig. I'm going on up. You said you want to go on up. You got to go through the fire. You got to know that he's able to take you through. And I want to tell you, once you get out of the fire, God will promote you. Some of the greatest movements in my life, Jeff, some of the greatest movements in my life is after I had been through it. Amen. And everybody counted me out. And God promoted him. See, I want to tell you, you don't have to be self-promoting. Come on. I know a lot of that going on. Some of these little evangelists, they so slick about getting on their little Facebook and promoting themselves. Hello. Come to our Christmas sing. Only cost you $12. Come and see me and come and get a tape. It only cost you $20. I'm sick of self-promotion. I'm glad that there's a God in this room that can promote you and bless you and take you through, and you don't have to have a world promoting you. Hey, I don't have to have a gimmick promoting me. We don't have a bunch of that around here. We just still preach the Bible. We still preach the blood. We still preach the blessed hope. We don't go do a bunch of things. I ain't going to ride no donkey up front or climb up on the new temple or new steeple to get some money. I may send Jerry Green up there, but I ain't going to. We don't have to gimmick it. By the way, we got a full church this morning because we still preach Jesus.
Amen.
I'm done. I'm going to give you this. Am I all right, Chad? I've been good this morning. I ain't been ugly at all, hardly. A C on ugliness. Let me ask you something. I guarantee you, there's people in this room, you're not even saved. And you're in a mess in your life. Your life's upside down. You say, preacher, I'm not saved. What am I need to do? You need Jesus. You need that one to get in the fire with you. You need to be saved. You need to know you're saved. You need to quit walking away from God. You need the one that can stick with you.
Amen.
And there's some of you in this room this morning. The devil's tried to get you to doubt. Because you're in the fire this morning. He's worked on you. You've been depressed about it. I want you to know something. You worship your way out of there. Come on now. You praise your way out of there. You believe in him this morning. Like you've never. And by the way, if he doesn't heal you here, he'll heal you up there.
Amen.
Somebody help me. Bow your head with me. I'm done. Dear Lord. I wonder how many say, Preacher Smith, if I died today, I don't have to worry about the hellfire because I'm saved.
How many just raise your hand and say, I know I'm saved. Raise your hand. Hold them up high if you know you're saved. Hold them high. Come on now. Testify. Thank you. How many right now couldn't raise your hand to say you're saved? If you die today, you'd be in hell. And you don't want to go to hell. You need an eternal companion. I wonder how many just slip up your hand and say, pray for me. Pray for me, preacher. I see your hand, sir. God bless you. Look at me, will you? You don't have to go to hell. You don't want to, do you? Won't you just get up? Come on. Oh, come on, come on, come on. That's right, that's right. Come on, ain't no use dying and going to hell. That's right, you can go to heaven right here from Taze Valley Baptist Church this morning. Come on. Jared, you lead this dear man to Christ. He wants to be saved. He does not want to go to hell. I'm about ready to get shouting here. Anybody else raise your hand and say, I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven. Raise them up. Come on. How many in here, how many Christians will admit that you're in a big fire today of trials? And man, the devil's working you over. He's trying to tell you ain't going to make it. He's trying to tell you there's no fix for you. I wonder how many Christians, you're wavering a little bit, a lot of doubt on your life this morning because of the fire and the trouble you're in, and you're having a hard time staying right. Raise your hand up. I see that hand back there. Somebody else. Preacher Smith, I'm in a big trial. Preacher Smith, I'm hurting real bad. Sip it up. Yes, I see it. I see it, young man. I know your trial. I've been praying for you. Somebody else, just sip it up. Oh, yes, I see it. Come on, come on. How many people right now say, Preacher Smith, I'm not where I ought to be with God. I'm a mess spiritually, and I need to get back to God. I need God on my side. Preacher, pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anybody? Stand with me. You come and pray. You're in the fire this morning. Father, touch the service. Thank you for this man coming forward to get saved. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. For his sake, amen. Amen. Come on, Mom, Dad. He's there.
Oh, I am in
yes.
Fire. Still I will serve.
Hey, mate. Hey, mate.
Though I am in the fire.
Yes.
Still I will serve.
Yes.
No
turning back. Ain't no stopping off place. Hey, you can't get off and say, God, you need to serve God. Amen. How many have you decided? Do you have a conviction about you? Come on now. I'm staying with God. I'm staying with Jesus. I'm worshiping Him. Amen. Some more, sing a little more. I wonder how many this morning say, I want to walk out and decide whatever comes, I'm serving God. Yes.
World behind.
Yes, amen. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord.
The cross before me, this world behind me.
Amen.
No turning back.
Amen.
No turning back.
Oh, yeah. Thank God for that. I've done decided. How about you? I'm serving Jesus. I done decided. Hook, line, and sinker. It's Jesus. Hey, my. Chad, hallelujah.
I have decided,
yeah, man,
to follow.
Y'all be seated.
Jesus.
I'm going to let you go ahead and baptize. Still dealing here, daughter. You pray here, daughter.